Made for Philly, Bryce, we are back. We took a couple weeks, and frankly, there's just nothing, no bone in my being wanted to hop on these airwaves and podcasts due to how terrible the whole state of the Eagles was. However, we had to suck it up. We're here. Season's over. They finished 4-11-1, one of the ugliest seasons in recent memory. Locked up the sixth pick. We'll get to that controversy later. Let's start with the elephant in the room, Bryce. We got, I believe it was four games of Jalen Hurts. Your impression, ended up going 1-3. Like I said, and you and I said, we recorded an episode after his first game. He didn't look terrible. It looked like he managed the game, was able to, you know, use his legs, you know, get that offense really moving. However, in his next three games, it seemed as though that had kind of fallen apart. And I'm not going to judge too much on the Redskins game, although he was terrible in the first half. But obviously he didn't finish out the game too, and we weren't able to see. I do firmly believe if he stayed in, they probably would have won. I think Washington is terrible. So that's neither here nor there. But your impression on Hurts, and really your thoughts on this quarterback controversy as we head into this crazy, crazy offseason, arguably one of the most important offseasons, one of the most pivotal offseasons in this team's recent history.
Yeah, this is going to be quite the offseason, and probably the most important in our lifetime, simply because there is just so much change that has to happen, and it starts with the quarterback position. When you look at Jalen Hurts, look, it started off great. I mean, the Eagles upset the Saints, and he was a game manager. They didn't ask him to do too much. But what they did ask, and this is really going back to the Saints game, and they did it throughout his entire time playing, was they got him rolling out, using his legs to extend plays, using the read option, getting the ball out quick, relying on the run game. They kind of got away from it outside of that Saints game and some of the Cardinals game. But, I mean, that's the formula we had been asking Doug to have with Wentz for weeks. So it was definitely frustrating to see that. But, look, it was kind of a tale of two halves for Jalen Hurts. The first two games, people were excited. People were thinking he might be the future. The last two games were absolutely horrendous. And I mean, what do you expect out of a rookie? That's what you're going to get. I saw nothing from Jalen Hurts for me to believe that he's the franchise quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles. I think it should, and we're going to get to it, it should absolutely be Carson Wentz. When you look at the second halves of all four of Jalen Hurts' starts, now obviously it's not really going to count. I should say three, because he got taken out of the third quarter. So three full second halves and a third quarter, Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles offense put up a total of 13 points. So it's not like the quarterback change fixed the problems on offense. It looked different, but the same problems remained. And it came down to play calling. It came down to the lack of talent outside of the quarterback position. It came down to the brutal offensive line situation that plagued Carson, plagued Jalen Hurts. And obviously, Jalen Hurts, I mean, everybody wants to point out Carson Wentz's problems fumbling the football. Well, hell, Jalen Hurts fumbled the football 9 times. So that didn't change. Jalen Hurts' last 20 drives of the season, Jeff, 25 for 56. For a 44.6% completion percentage, 0 passing touchdowns, 3 picks. He did lose a fumble, had a passer rating of 41.2, finished the season against the Redskins. And, of course, you know, he didn't have a full complimentary offense around him, but finished 7 of 20 for 72 yards and a 25.4 passer rating. I'm not asking my quarterback to be a running back. I expect my quarterback to be able to throw the ball and complete passes. And Jalen Hurts' numbers were no better than Carson's.
Yeah, and that's the sad reality. And we all know Carson was terrible this year, and you and I would be the first ones to say that. But the Jalen Hurts hype was easy to latch onto. I mean, trust me, when I watched the Saints game, I was excited. When I watched the Cardinals game up until the fourth quarter, I was excited. And then you really started to see him kind of fall off. And I don't know what it could be, a mixture of things. You know, they had a lot of injuries towards the end of the year. You know, they're not, and same for Carson. It's not like I'm saying that Jalen Hurts had more injuries than Carson, because that's clearly not the case. But I just didn't that it factor and that you know excitement factor kind of wore off for me fairly quickly. So I'll be interested to see what they do, and that's what we're going to start with right now, Bryce. Is, you know, where does this team go? There have been several reports. First and foremost, it sounds like Jalen Hurts wants to come back. I'm assuming he will be back. He's under contract. He's on a rookie deal. Like if he ends up being their starter, that's a hell of a get for the Eagles price wise. However, you have a $100 million man who would be your backup. That just doesn't make sense. And we've seen Doug, we've seen Howie, we've seen reports come out that say the goal is to mend that relationship with Carson and make him the starting quarterback next season. However, there's an AP report, Associated Press, that came out that said Carson was going to take a little break from the team and kind of reevaluate his, you know, where he wants to be, his stance. And there were reports out there as well that he was going to request a trade. So this is a ton of stuff coming down for this team in the quarterback room. Your initial thoughts on it, A, and how do you think this saga ends?
Well, first and foremost, I think the Eagles would be foolish to allow Wentz to be traded if they're the ones that control the situation. And quite frankly, they really do have more control than Carson does. That's just the bottom line. And Doug and Howie want him back. And it sounds like, look, I'll go back to, I watched both Howie and Doug's presser, end of the season presser, and it was... they were more humbled, I think, than they were in years past. I think they really want to take themselves and look at this team in the mirror and really figure out what's going on. Howie Roseman talked about some of the voices in his head that told him to rebuild a year ago, and he didn't. But when it comes to this quarterback position, they both want Howie here. And Howie reiterated, we didn't trade up to get him. We didn't give him the contract extension to just simply trade him. And we all know that Carson can play at a high level. He was damn near the MVP when the Eagles won the Super Bowl. If it weren't for a torn ACL, quite frankly, in my opinion, he still should have won. He finished the year with the most touchdown passes in the NFL that year. Still, he took a practice squad led team basically to an NFC East division title last season. And this year it wasn't great. There were injuries around him, and there's not a whole lot to blame. I mean, there's a lot to blame on Carson as well, but there's a whole lot to blame elsewhere. 14 different offensive line combinations, that's an NFL record. You had a revolving door at wide receiver. You had your first-round pick look god-awful when he was on the field, which wasn't a whole lot. You had the regression of Zach Ertz. You had the horrible play calling from Doug Peterson. You had a defense that played well in spurts but wasn't consistent and didn't turn the ball over to give the offense good enough field position. I just have a hard time believing from the four games, and we talked about what Jalen Hurts brought to the table, some good, some bad. I have a hard time believing the Eagles are going to simply be willing to give up on Carson based on what they saw from Jalen in 4 weeks, based on the circumstances surrounding the entire roster, and given that they're probably going to take a wide receiver, whether it be Ja'Marr Chase or Devontae Smith, with that number 6 overall pick. If you keep surrounding this offense with weapons, bring Wentz back, a motivated Carson Wentz, I think that would be the move. Now, I'm not so sure how the dynamic's going to work, because I'm not so sure it would be wise to bring both Carson and Jalen back, because you're going to have that noise all year long. I think the Eagles really screwed themselves with the pick of Jalen Hurts. I do think one of them is going to go. I do think it's going to be Jalen, though. I don't see how the Eagles move on from Carson Wentz after the contract they just gave him.
Yeah, and there's a lot to unpack there, obviously. But if you look at this offense, so you would have a healthy line. You have, obviously, Alshon's going to be gone. It looks like, you know, they restructured his deal, and they're him and Malik Jackson. And it looks like if they cut them after June 1, then the Eagles save over $20 million. And so that's what they're going to do. Alshon will not be back with his team, which hopefully opens up room for Travis Fulgham. And then, like you said, you're going to most likely draft a receiver. However, nothing can be set in stone with Howie at the helm. So you would look at Ja'Marr Chase or Devontae Smith. So you add them, you know, Fulgham, Devontae Smith or Ja'Marr Chase, and then Rager as well. I can't give up on Jalen Rager, a kid who was hurt. He was wide the hell open against the Redskins for a bomb, and Jalen Hurts, you know, threw it behind him. That's another conversation for another day. So basically what I'm saying is I feel like you can get some weapons. You'll have a healthy Miles Sanders. And really, if I had to give the keys to a quarterback right now, it's close. I would say Carson. But like you said, what's this going to look like? I mean, in Doug's most recent press conference, he mentioned how he wanted to heal the relationship with Carson Wentz, bring back Carson Wentz, and then, but he said he also wanted to find a role for Jalen Hurts. So this isn't going to work. I don't know if that's just a smokescreen, but from everything that I've seen, not too many two quarterback systems work. And yes, I would argue only the Saints. I mean, and even that, you're not going to put Jalen Hurts at tight end or running back or kick returner like the Saints have done with Taysom Hill. So a lot to see what happens, a lot to unpack as we get through the offseason. Obviously, nothing's going to be fixed overnight. But, you know, eventually this situation will be resolved. But I do agree with you. I think one of them is going to be gone. It's just a question of who. You know, all signs would point to Carson staying just based off the comments we've heard from the GM and the head coach. However, this is a cap strap team. Do they take that dead money hit and then trade them? It's a mess. And the Eagles can only blame themselves for this mess they've put themselves in. So let's Bryce, let's talk about, and we'll get to the draft and get to some players who are leaving. Last Sunday night, the NFL made a huge mistake in flexing the Eagles and the Washington football team. There were many games last weekend that had playoff implications, and a lot of them were pretty good. You look at the Browns and the Steelers. That was a very good game. I know the Steelers played their backups, but it was still a very good game. But so the Eagles come out, go down 10-0. They come back, take a 14-10 lead, go down 17-14. Long story short, you get to the fourth quarter, the third quarter, I should say, late third, early fourth, and Nate Sudfeld comes out. And all of a sudden, it's some big, big moral issue that the Eagles are clearly trying to lose the game, because if they won, they would have gotten the ninth pick. And if they lost, which they did, they ended up and did end up with the sixth pick. So I just don't understand the outrage here. The Jaguars have been tanking for 10 years. So I just don't understand. If this game was a 1 p.m. game on CBS, it's a non-issue and nobody's talking about it. For God's sakes, they lost the game 20-14. It's not like they got blown out 40-10. It was a very competitive game. And if Nate Sudfeld was able to put a couple throws together and put some drives together, they probably win the game. So I'm curious your thoughts on the media reaction and the New York fan reaction to them, you know, quote unquote, quitting. They didn't beat the Washington football team, therefore the Giants didn't get in, and somehow they expected to get in when they only won six football games all season.
For those who don't know, I work for ESPN New York, and it's been quite the week. They're still bitching about the fact that Doug Peterson, in their minds, tanked this game. It really does blow my mind that, first off, the NFL flexed this game to Sunday Night Football, primarily because in years past, Jeff, the NFL, when they look at Week 17 matchups, they try to align the games that impact each other for the same time slots. So I'm not really sure why all of a sudden the Cowboys and Giants are at 1 o'clock and then we're putting the Washington football team and the Eagles at 8:20. So that didn't make sense from the rip. Doug had said all week that he was going to try and get Nate Sudfeld into the game. This is what happens when teams play meaningless games. This is what happens when your season's over. You evaluate the depth. It happens in every single sport. If you're out of the playoff race, you're eliminated, why not see what you have, what you can move forward with? And when you look at the quarterback position, Jalen Hurts was god-awful. He was terrible. Now, he made some plays and had two touchdowns on the ground, but as a quarterback, as a passer, he was terrible. I mentioned the stats. I'll mention them again. 7 of 20, 72 yards, one interception, a 25.4 passer rating. That is the lowest since Nick Foles' passer rating in Week 17 against the Cowboys, the Eagles, the year the Eagles won the Super Bowl. So another comparison, when the Eagles didn't play any of their starters. this is what happens in the NFL. And for the Giants to expect the Eagles to owe them something, to play that game with all of their starters, is silly. And for Joe Judge to sit there and call out Doug Peterson's integrity for simply trying to want to see what he has depth-wise is astounding. Nate Sudfeld has played before for the Eagles and has played somewhat well. I'll throw you back to the last time they played Washington in a meaningful Week 17 game when the Eagles clinched a wild card spot the year the Eagles, the double doink year. Nate Sudfeld played that like last quarter and a half and played well. The Eagles, if they're going to be moving on from one of these quarterbacks, they need to know if they can rely on Nate Sudfeld as a backup. So why not put him in and see what happens? And for the reports that come out for that players were confronting Doug Peterson, stop it. Just stop it. That didn't happen. Jason Kelce and Brandon Graham said so as much. You know, Jalen Hurts can pout on the sideline all he wants and say it's not right. He was more pissed off that he played like shit, probably. I don't know what I respect the hell out of Miles Sanders. I love Miles Sanders to death for obvious Penn State connection reasons. But I'm not so sure he worded what he said properly on WIP the other day. I believe it was WIP when he said that he was confused by the benching of Jalen Hurts. Miles Sanders was never in the game plan. He was never going to play. So Doug probably never ran it by him that Nate Sudfeld was going to play because he didn't have to. So there's a lot of things to break down here. And like you said, Jeff, three other teams benched their starters in Week 17. It happens all the time. The Steelers played all their backups and allowed the Browns to beat them go into the playoffs. Dolphins fans aren't bitching about it, but for some reason, because it's Philadelphia and Philadelphia is never in this position, it's a big deal because the media loves Philadelphia to be a punching bag. So every opportunity that the national media gets, they're going to jump at it. But for my last thing on to Giants fans, win more than six games. To those Giants players, win more than six games. You should not complain about not making the playoffs when you are simply a bad football team that was in a god-awful division and for some reason at 6-10 had a chance to win it. Stop it. Go home. See you next year.
Yeah, and I couldn't say it any better. I mean, that's just how it is. And the reality is until you incentivize winning meaningless games, then it's going to continue to happen. If you go into a game, you have potential to move up four draft picks. If you lose, that's what's going to happen. So, I mean, if you're in the
play, yeah. The Eagles could lose Devontae Smith. The Eagles could lose out on Devontae Smith if they're at nine.
Oh, exactly, and then they would. So it's good to see good L boys. We're glad. So 4-11-1, we'll get the Eagles a six pick, and Bryce and I will be on obviously later in months to come, breaking down draft prospects and who the Eagles will take at nine. Bryce, before we go to Sixers, because I do want to get to Sixers, some late breaking news sidebar: KD and Kyrie both out for the Nets tonight against the Sixers. So. Not the game we wanted to see. We wanted to see a real good game, but whatever. I'll take what I can get with this team and rack up the W's, and hopefully it still remains to be an easy win. Bryce, real quick before we go to Sixers, though, like I said, after the game on Sunday, you saw a group of three veteran players, and being Carson Wentz, Jason Kelce, and Zach Ertz. And they were on the field, and the game ended around 10:30, 11-ish. I can't believe I watched every minute of that shit show, but there I was. I woke up the next morning about 6:30, checked my phone, and there were pictures of Wentz, Kelce, and Ertz sitting on the Eagles bench at 1:10 a.m. Just those three out there with the security detail talking, shooting the shit. and we can really talk about these three guys who've been a key part of this Eagles franchise for the past couple of years. You have to think, well, we know that Kelce's contemplated retirement. This isn't the first time we've seen this out of him. He thought about it last year, decided to come back. So that's a possibility. Ertz is due a bunch of money and it looks like he won't be back because he wants a similar contract to Kittle and to Kelce. And that's just not realistic. And then you have obviously Carson Wentz. So is this the beginning of the end of this era? I mean, why else would these three guys go out there and have that long of a discussion by themselves the day or the night after their last game?
Yeah. Look, if there was any question about the Super Bowl era being over, that's no more. I mean, after a terrible, terrible season and 4-11-1, I mean, that it is, it's over. Howie Roseman acknowledged as much, where they need to get younger and he really needs to take that next step in bringing in the next generation of Eagles. And I think Carson Wentz is the one player that will be here out of that trio. I think they want to move forward with Carson Wentz. He's only 28 and Zach Ertz is only 30, but he's been a shell of himself. And at one point, yeah, he was a top three tight end, but you're starting to see more explosive tight ends that are more like wide receivers at this point, like Kittle and Kelce. And it makes Ertz look like a dinosaur out there that just simply can't break tackles and hasn't been able to make the plays that were known for him to make. And when you have Dallas Goedert waiting in the wings, when you have the cap situation that you have, and you have the type of money that Zach Ertz is owed, and you have him wanting even more money, it just seems less and less realistic that he will be back. And if I'm a very big tone reader when I listen to Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson talk at these pressers, and you could just tell. I mean, it's no secret on Zach Ertz's behalf how he feels. I mean, we all saw the press conference. We've all seen the videos. But when Howie Roseman was talking about Zach Ertz, obviously one of the greatest players, because the way the question was asked was pretty much, is Zach Ertz going to be back? And obviously in Howie fashion, he didn't say yes or no. But the way he phrased it, you know, he's been a great part. He's been one of the best players he's gotten to know over his 21 years with the Eagles organization, and he went on this big spiel. It sounded like the end of Zach Ertz to me, and Doug Peterson didn't comment on it, but Dallas Goedert in the wings. The offensive line needs to get younger. Would I love Kelce back? Absolutely. I think he's one of those guys that would come back cheap and has proven to still be very effective, one of the better centers in the NFL. But at the same time, the Eagles do know they need to get younger on the offensive line. Injuries aside, when they aren't hurt, I think it's going to be interesting who would be the next center. You have, I mean, Herbig was originally brought in to be a center. I'm not sure that they would still have that plan. I don't know who would be the next center. Sayumalu at one point was supposed to be the next center, but he has really fit in nicely at left guard. But out of those three, yeah, Wentz would be the guy that I would pick to be back. If I had to take a guess, I know Zach Ertz won't be back. Jason Kelce's kind of that middleman, and then Carson Wentz to me would be back.
Yeah, I think you're going to see either two out of three back or one out of three. Like you said, I think Ertz is gone based off his press conference, unless they really, you know, get a team friendly deal. Like you said, like, I can't see them paying him anything close to Kittle money or to Kelce money. That's just not realistic for the production that Zach Ertz provides. But I'm more than willing to bring him back on a team friendly deal to either be Goddard's backup or continue the rotation they have right now. I did see a report that Peterson was talking with Ertz to actually try to, you know, mend that relationship with Wentz to help him. Who knows if that'll play a role in him coming back. But regardless, I think you either see Wentz back or Wentz and Kelce back, with Ertz being the odd man out. So obviously there's a ton of storylines. I mean, this is one of the most decorated storylines in Eagles offseason history. There's just so many pieces to touch on. Coaches being let go today. A report coming out that they're going to hire an actual potential offensive coordinator. Jim Schwartz finally releasing the statement that he's not coming back. So they're going to need a D coordinator. So, you know, a lot of moving pieces, and obviously keep it locked into us at Made for Philly on Twitter, at ZBryce21 on Twitter, for any updates that we can get for you guys as soon as possible. So Bryce, let's move on to the Sixers. Have played 8 games and have won all but they've won all of them but one, and that game they did lose was against the Cavaliers, and Embiid wasn't playing. They've looked like a whole different ball club. So your initial thoughts, and obviously, like I said, late breaking news. You knew no KD tonight. However, now there's going to be no Kyrie, and this was a really anticipated matchup for Sixers fans, getting to see their Sixers against considered the top Eastern team in the Brooklyn Nets. So now they're going up against, you know, some bench guys and some mid-level starters, which, you know, should be a win. Who knows with the Sixers team? But your thoughts so far on this Sixers season, sitting at 7-1.
Yeah, this Nets game I was really excited for because I wanted to see how they would do against one of the top teams expected to be in the entire NBA. But how about the Sixers? 7-1, first time they've started this hot since they were 8-0 in 2000. Obviously, that's the year they made the NBA Finals. So obviously, this is definitely the best start Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid have had. And I think it's just obvious what Daryl Morey did in such a short amount of time, getting rid of Horford, getting rid of Richardson, who wasn't really a shooter, and surrounding Simmons and Embiid with guys like Seth Curry, who has been absolutely dynamite. Tobias Harris is playing out of his mind and is creeping in as a second Sixer MVP candidate early on, Toby's a guy that played his best basketball under Doc in LA, and he's clearly taking that level up again here in Philly. So that's exciting to see. And you have the championship experience of Danny Green starting to heat up as well. And the depth, Jeff, I think the depth is more noticeable this year than it has been in years past. Simply asking Shake coming off the bench for the most part, averaging 12.9 points a game. He's averaging 24 minutes. So either him or Danny Green gets starts here and there. Actually, I think Danny Green started all games. I don't think Shake started any yet. But to have Furkan Korkmaz only play 3 games, Maxey has been unbelievable. I think he's been really exciting. And having a true center that can be a backup for Joel Embiid, I think for the first time really in Embiid's career here in Philadelphia, we feel comfortable about having Embiid off the floor. Dwight Howard has been a godsend for the second and third rotations of this Sixers team. And look, Scott Brooks said it the other night after the Wizards game. The Sixers are the best team in the NBA. And that's not a fluke. Have they had the hardest schedule yet? No. But, they haven't had the easiest. The Knicks are better than what a lot of people have expected. You have the Wizards, who you've played twice and won. The Hornets are young. They're not great, but they're young. Toronto is stumbling, but they're still a good team. Orlando, at the time, was playing well. Like I said, the only loss was without Embiid, who is by far running away with the MVP voting so far. Granted, only 8 games in, but he is the slam dunk MVP at this point. What Doc Rivers has been able to do system-wise has been incredible. It's been light years away from what Brett Brown would have done with this team at this point. And you just have to feel good about where the Sixers are at, what they were able to do in a short amount of time, changing the culture and changing the look of this roster. And your stars are flourishing.
No, absolutely. Shout out to Daryl Morey for being able to fix this mess within about an hour and 10 minutes. Basically, just by adding Howard, Seth Curry, and Danny Green made a huge difference. And obviously drafting Tyrese Maxey. So you look at Dwight Howard, who's able to back up Embiid, a true center. Finally, he's the best backup that Embiid's ever had since he started his NBA career. You put 2 shooters around Ben and Joel, and you can see the total difference. I mean, even look at Tobias. Like, Tobias is a whole different player. This is the best Tobias has ever played in Philadelphia. And I deleted all my Toby tweets because I am back on the Tobias wagon. Last year, being used as a 3, having to guard the 3, that just wasn't him. And he has a coach who he played very, very well under previously. And now you're starting to see some of that payoff, nearly averaging 20 points a game, playing good defense, hitting open threes, creating his own shot. That's huge for the Sixers team. And obviously, you know what Ben and Joel can give you. But if they get in trouble, dishing it out to not only Danny Green, who's been shooting much better than he started out, but a guy like Seth Curry, who's shooting 60% from three. That is absurd. Like, that is unheard of. So the whole construction of this team is much
better than his brother.
Yeah, he is shooting better than his brother. But the whole construction of this team is much better than what we've seen in previous years. And not to mention Maxey, like I said, who is lightning quick. He's quick as a hiccup, and he can get to the bucket whenever he wants to. And that's a guard that we haven't seen in Philadelphia since a guy like Jrue Holiday, since a guy like Iverson. I'm not saying he's either of those guys. I'm saying his style of play, where he looks to get to the bucket, looks to finish around the rim for a guy of his stature and his size. So I'm excited about this team, Bryce. I think Doc Rivers is a good coach. And I think you're going to see this team win a lot of games. And like I said, like you said, their schedule hasn't been tough, but at the end of the day, you play who you play. I mean, you play who's on your schedule, and yes, you're going to play some tougher games, but these games that they've won are important games to win. You need to rack up these wins that are guaranteed wins, quote unquote. You look at the game on Wednesday night against the Wizards. They're up 20. They give up that lead, and the Wizards come back and take a 2-point lead. Last year's Sixers team and Brett Brown's Sixers teams lose that game 10 times out of 10 times. And everybody's talking about how they blew a 20-point lead and lost. Last night, they blow a 20-point lead. Then they go up 10 and end up winning by 5. And that's what you need to do. You need to be able to pull out games like, and I was almost glad they blew the lead, right? I needed this team to have some experience in the fourth quarter in a tight game, see who can take over. You saw Embiid with a huge and one. You saw Simmons with a huge and one. These guys are finally starting to mature and play the type of basketball they can. And I give credit to Daryl Morey, Doc Rivers, Elton Brand, and obviously the players for turning this ship around. So I'm looking forward to watching them in Brooklyn tonight, although it'll be against a shorthanded team. It's still another game that, like I said, they have to get these wins when they can, because eventually they'll play the Bucks a couple times, the Heat a couple times, the Celtics, they'll swing around the West. So, you know, like I said, I mean, I do think this is a 45 win-ish team. You're only playing 72 games, but the way they're playing right now, 50 ain't out of the question. And I do think that this team ends up being a top two or a top three seed in the East when all is said and done. So a lot to look forward to, like I said, with the Sixers. Bryce, any little Flyers updates before we roll?
No, I mean, there hasn't really been much coming out of camp. Obviously, they just hopped in, but without a lot of the media allowed to be there, it's been tough. But they look really good. Nolan Patrick will be back this year. Carter Hart and Brian Elliott will be the tandem in net once again. And Alain Vigneault today said he expects big things with Carter Hart. I would expect him to start the majority of the games, but they trust Brian Elliott in that backup role, and they clearly have been able to. This is a team that's going to be a problem, and I really think that they have a strong chance to really hoist that Stanley Cup at the end of the year. So as terrible as it has been to talk about the Eagles for the past couple months, you have the Sixers as the best team in the NBA, and the Flyers are currently top five odds-on favorite to win the Stanley Cup. So we have those two things. Philly's baseball is still kind of out there. It's a thing. We just don't know what kind of a thing it's going to be yet, but at least we have the Flyers and the Sixers.
Absolutely. And a little late breaking news for Bryce. Jahan Dotson from Penn State is coming back. So he will.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, look, when you look at Penn State, they were awful. They were absolutely awful, but they did finish nice and strong after those young guys got experience. They're going to be an interesting team to watch next year. I'm not saying they're going to be better than Ohio State. I don't think anybody's going to be better than Ohio State, but they have that young core. And if Dotson's back, like that just broke, that's huge. I mean, he was an absolute stud this year for them. And look, anything can happen. Sure as hell won't be Michigan this year.
And hopefully you guys will stop being stubborn and put Taquan Roberson at quarterback, so we don't have to watch that debacle that was this year, because it can't get much worse than what we saw from Penn State. But that's a different conversation as we get closer to the fall. Bryce, anything before we roll?
No, that's it. Hopefully the Sixers have, by the time we talk, Next, they'll have played Brooklyn, which is tonight when we're airing, Denver, Atlanta, Miami twice. So we're going to have a better idea of what the Sixers are the next time we talk, and the Flyers will have played their first game as well.
Absolutely. So we will have it all here on Made for Philly, as well as Eagle updates as they come down to us. So if you haven't done so already, follow Made for Philly on Twitter at Made for Philly. And follow Bryce's personal account at ZBryce21 for all the most up-to-minute Philly sports updates. If you have not done so, also head on your Apple Podcasts on your iOS device, type in Made for Philly, hit subscribe. Every single episode will be downloaded directly to your phone. For Bryce, I am Jeff. We are Made for Philly, and we will see you next week.